This week, a group of scientists, the American Association for the Advancement of Scientists, which is the world's largest general scientific society, released a stark report on climate change. It essentially is a group of scientists sounding the alarm on climate change, an alarm they don't think that you are hearing. And they also want you to know that the window for humans to do something about this is rapidly closing. Here to discuss this is Dr. Howard Frumkin, who's the Dean of the School of Public Health at the University of Washington and the former director of the National Center for Public Health at the Centers for Disease Control. Dr. Frumkin, thanks for joining me here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on.
What was so important about getting this report out this week? Did it contain any message that we haven't heard before about climate change?
It contains some messages that probably haven't been getting through as much as they should. One message is that the scientific community is really very unanimous on the subject of climate change. And based on the available evidence, more than 97% of climate scientists have concluded that climate change is real, it's human-caused, and it's happening now. If people don't know that scientists are on the same page on this, they may have a lot of doubt themselves. But the fact is, scientists really are on the same page.
You must be frustrated by the disinformation campaign that has been put forward by various people, a lot of them so-called astroturf groups that look like they're grassroots groups but are actually funded by fossil fuel companies, etc.
You know, it really is gut-wrenching. When carbon dioxide molecules get into the atmosphere and act according to the laws of physics, there's just no politics in that at all. That's a real-life physical phenomenon that we ought to take seriously and work to solve. It's going to help all of us, Republicans and Democrats and everybody in between.
You know, as Neil deGrasse Tyson has said on his terrific Cosmos series on Sunday nights on Fox, science doesn't care whether you believe it. It's true either way.
Yeah, you know, and that's a very good point. And the other line that people use is, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts.
Right.
But it is a reality that there are some vested interests in our society that are trying very hard to turn us away from facing up to the facts and making the changes we need to make. And we're just going to have to power through that.
I mentioned at the beginning that the window for humans to do something about this is rapidly closing. Has it gotten worse?
Well, there's a whole series of computer models that predict how fast climate change will be happening. And the fact is, there's some uncertainty, so we don't know exactly how fast things will unfold. However, what we do know is that in general, things have been happening faster than the models have predicted. So there is some urgency to taking action. The other piece of news in this report that we released this week was this, that although there's a range of uncertainty as to how fast and how severe the impacts are going to be, we do know that there's what's called a tail risk. A tail risk is the small probability that things will happen very suddenly or very severely. Now, that's sometimes people call that a low probability, high consequence event. That would be something like your house catching on fire. It's not very probable. The chances are low, but it's really a bad thing to happen. And we're used to making decisions based on tail risks. We buy home insurance to protect ourselves in case our houses do catch on fire. Very similar principle here, that if climate change brings very bad changes, we would sure not want that to happen. And so it's worth making decisions now and taking actions now to help minimize those risks, even if they're at the tail of the distribution of probabilities.
You know, the thing that I've never heard any of the deniers explain is what would be the harm in making the Earth a better place to be? What would be the harm in taking action to reduce climate change? If there is no such thing as climate change, if the deniers are actually right about what they're saying, what's the downside to making it better anyway?
Just imagine we're walking and bicycling more. We've got more efficiency in the energy generation part of our economy. We've got houses that are better insulated. We've got light bulbs that are more efficient. We've closed down those dirty pollution-producing coal-fired power plants, and we have wind and solar and renewables. That wouldn't be a bad set of futures. And by the way, some of those changes, like changing energy generation patterns, bring a lot of new jobs. So there are lots of gains. I come at this from the health point of view. I'm a physician and a public health scientist. And what we talked about is co-benefits. That is, if we make some of the changes we need to make, boy, they give a whole range of benefits. So, for example, if we walk and bicycle more and drive less, well, even if there were no climate change, then we would be addressing the obesity epidemic, and we would be reducing the number of people who are killed in car crashes every year, the major killer of young people in this country. If we put more trees and green spaces in our cities, which we need to do to help protect against the impact of heat waves, and by the way, cities are more beautiful, we manage storm water better, we give people the joy of being near beautiful places and cities. So, again, lots of co-benefits from taking the steps we need to take to address climate change. A lot of people talk about this as a series of threats to our lifestyle and threats to our well-being. I don't think so. I think it's actually a set of opportunities that will yield a lot of benefits across the board.
It's also important to remember that many of the groups that are ginning up the deniers here and leading the opposition are the same ones who 4 decades ago, believe it or not, in the Nixon administration, didn't want the EPA created, didn't want the Clean Water Act, didn't want the Clean Air Act. And if you were to go back and see the water and the air from 1969 and compare it to what we have here in 2014, you would say those were good things in the long run.
Yeah, it's and one of the arguments that's been a part of environmental policy since the 70s has been that it'll cost too much to make those changes. But in fact, we have very good evidence now in the climate arena that even if some of the changes we need to make will have costs up front, and some of them will, those costs are outweighed by the benefits. And that goes to the timing question you mentioned earlier. What we know is that if we act now, it'll be much less expensive in the long run to deal with the problem than if we wait another 30, 40, 50 years when it's unavoidable. And it'll be a lot more expensive to address then.
Yeah, the costs will get higher, and the costs won't just be financial. But talk about some of the things that climate change will mean for the planet.
Well, let me talk about what it'll mean for people. I think most of your listeners care a lot about their own health and well-being and that of their children and grandchildren. So some of the things that will happen as climate change unfolds, and some are happening already, we'll see heat waves, and heat is not good for people. Heat waves kill hundreds of people a year, and that will intensify. We'll see more severe weather events, and by that I mean bad storms, droughts, floods, and so on. And those have all kinds of effects on people, ranging from their ability to raise food, to their ability to stay safely in their homes. We'll see probably some increases in infectious diseases in particular parts of the world. This is very place-specific, and infectious diseases depend on lots of things other than the climate. But we do know that so-called tropical diseases are called tropical for a reason. And these are diseases that exist in particular ecological settings. And as those ecological settings expand their range, then so may the diseases. So we're looking at the vector-borne diseases, such as encephalitis. We're looking at water-borne diseases, such as cholera. And we are seeing some changes in those patterns already. Too early to say for sure that those changes are due to climate, but all of our predictions suggest that we have a bigger problem coming there. We have problems with air quality coming because ozone generation increases as the weather gets warmer.
Yep.
We have problems with allergies coming because a lot of the allergen-forming plants like poison ivy and ragweed do better when you fertilize them with more carbon dioxide.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've only got my own sinuses to testify to this, but it does seem, as a person who suffers from hay fever, that just the last couple of years have been worse. Now, of course, you can't look at short-term results and be results-oriented that way to look at, to compare that to the macro problem. And I think too many people look at this horribly cold winter we've had and say, well, there can't be global warming or climate change when it's this way. And I've only got 30 seconds for this answer, Dr. Frumkin, but can we say this winter was more severe, like so many other weather events recently, because of climate change?
What we can say is that we shouldn't really draw conclusions about climate change from short-term observations. This
right.
is a long-term trend that we're worried about. So So although our experiences are very important to us in drawing conclusions, it's really best to look at the scientific data, listen to the scientists, acknowledge that we've got a long-term trend going in the wrong direction, and take steps to address it.
Dr. Howard Frumkin, Dean of the School of Public Health at the University of Washington, former director of the National Center for Public Health at the CDC, and a member of the American Association of the Advancement of Science. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thank you, too.
I'm Paul Harris. We'll put a link to that stark report that the AAAS posted this week on our America Weekend Facebook page. Thanks for listening.
America Weekend.